This is Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR. I'm Audrey Nowakowski. Thanks for joining us today. Have you ever noticed the engravings in the concrete along Brady Street? We'll explore those in Bubbler Talk later in the show. We'll start with this. When was the last time you visited your primary care provider? Think about how long it takes to schedule an appointment. And once you're there, did you feel rushed during the visit? Have these factors led you to hesitate to return or even want to find a new provider? These experiences with healthcare access and doctors are common, and an unfortunate side effect of a shortage of primary care physicians. With primary care providers leaving the medical field, it forces clinicians to treat more patients in less time, leading to less than ideal or unreliable care. This problem is prevalent not only in the Milwaukee area, but nationwide. Freelance reporter Ashley Abramson wrote about this issue in this month's Milwaukee Magazine, and she joins me now to share more about the primary care shortage. Hey, Ashley, welcome to Lake Effect.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to chat with you.
So this is a big problem, not just impacting Milwaukee, but far beyond across the nation. And more primary care providers are leaving the medical field, which forces clinicians that remain to treat more patients in less time. So with this issue becoming more and more prevalent, what are the consequences for both patients and for the providers?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think there's a lot of factors at play. I think the obvious answer is that finding a primary care doctor is harder. Whether you move, you know, to the area and you're looking for a provider for yourself and your family, or you're not happy with your doctor and you want to switch, or your doctor leaves and you need to find a new one, all of those things can become more difficult. There can be really long wait lists, and some people might not feel like they can wait that long to find a doctor or see a doctor. I think appointments can be rushed. When there's fewer providers available, there's less time slotted for each patient, which means patients might not feel like they can ask all the questions they have for their physicians. And with that, I think doctors, even well-meaning providers who are passionate about providing great care, might feel rushed and might not be able to take the measures they normally take to provide that excellent level of care, which practically might look like, you know, making a patient feel rushed, creating kind of an anxious, frenzied environment where people feel like they can't share things with their doctor, or on the more extreme end, potentially, you know, over-prescribing and just writing that prescription to kind of end the appointment and keep moving. So I'd say that there are definitely high-level effects in terms of how this affects public health, but also, you know, on the other level, people leave appointments feeling anxious and upset, and doctors might feel less satisfied with their jobs because they have less time to be the great doctor that they want to be.
So these are a lot of the negative effects we can all feel and probably have experienced ourselves. But in an ideal world, you know, pretending this problem doesn't exist, what effect does having a good and reliable primary care provider have for an individual, not just for that day of the appointment?
Yeah, I think, you know, like we talked about on the day of the appointment, when you like your doctor and you don't feel rushed, you're more likely to open up and share things. And then the doctor can, you know, respond in kind and help you with the things that you want help with. I think that a good and reliable relationship with a primary care provider is a lot about prevention as well, not just managing the symptoms that do come up or the conditions that pop up, but making sure you're on top of your vaccines, getting all those screenings that we need to prevent things like high cholesterol, type 2 diabetes, high blood pressure. And a lot of the relationship with the primary care physician is education, right? Like learning about things like nutrition and mental health and exercise and sleep habits and how all of those things can help us live healthier lives and prevent disease from occurring in the first place. So if we don't have a PCP, we're going to miss out on some of those things. And I could see that really affecting people's health negatively.
So naturally, in any field, some turnover is to be expected, right? Like people retire, they move, et cetera. But with doctor turnover rates, this has escalated. So what factors have complicated or led to this larger turnover that will eventually lead us here in the U.S. to be short over 45,000 primary care providers in 10 years?
Yeah, it's such a concerning issue. I think, you know, like you said, retirement and leaving a job or moving are totally normal. But as we're seeing in so many different fields, you know, burnout is hugely prevalent in the medical field, which I think doctors that are burned out and unhappy might want to retire earlier. And I think on the other side, more and more doctors in training are choosing to go into specialties rather than primary care, like dermatology or oncology or surgery, simply because those specialties are higher paying and often, you know, better hours with different kinds of demands that might prevent that kind of same type of burnout from happening. I think, you know, we've all watched the medical shows, Grey's Anatomy and things like that. And I think there's some truth to what we see that, you know, these resident doctors that are working 80 hours a week and getting paid, you know, peanuts, they're getting burned out on the front end too. So, and I, you know, we're seeing it, I've heard, as early as, you know, medical school. So I think the burnout is definitely a huge component driving this issue.
You mentioned a lot of med students going into specialties because the reality is they will make more money versus primary care. And medical school debt plays a factor into this choice as well, right?
Yes, yes, absolutely. You know, I don't have any exact numbers in front of me, but I know that these students that go to medical school are not only burdened with their undergraduate debt, but then the medical school debt on top of that is just insurmountable for so many folks. And when we think about, you know, the Medicare reimbursement rates declining, they're faced with like, is it really worth it? Do I want to take on all of this debt and then have years of this burden, interest accumulating with the residency not paying well? It's going to be a long time until they can actually, you know, possibly even touch that debt. So that's definitely a factor.
Now, you know, we're not generalizing doctors here, and we are recognizing that they're working in a difficult system, right? So I want to talk about that too. Like, no matter how much care a doctor might want to give you, they are probably feeling rushed as well, and in turn passing that on to their patients. So what roles do the systems that they operate within have with this shortage? You know, for example, whether it's the healthcare environment, their employer they're operating under, or insurance practices?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think like any societal problem, there are some deeply embedded societal issues and multiple at play. I think healthcare environments can be stressful, you know, for-profit environments where providers might feel rushed, like they have to see a certain number of patients each day, which might make them feel rushed and not providing the type of care they want to see. And, you know, we know that when the job satisfaction goes down, the risk of burnout goes up. And with that can come things like, you know, depression type symptoms that make it really hard to function in that environment. I think that the insurance requirements can be a huge burden. Doctors are tasked with not only, you know, seeing the patients, but behind the scenes, so much charting and coding and paperwork that can make the day feel really stressful. And then, as I outlined in the article, some of the Medicare reimbursement rates. So, you know, doctors who are seeing older patients or people covered by Medicare, these rates are also declining, which can just honestly make the work feel unfair and less rewarding.
Now, you yourself participate in a direct primary care system, which is outside some of the systems we've been talking about. So can you explain what that is and how this works?
Yes. So direct primary care is a lot of different things for me and for patients who choose this route. It means having more access to your doctor without, you know, the medical systems that we all know in the area involved. So a lot of doctors will go the private practice route and choose not to bill insurance. And when you don't bill insurance, you know, there's two sides of the coin. Direct care patients have to pay a monthly fee rather than having their insurance cover the care. But because of that, there is less of a barrier to seeing your doctor and getting the care you need. For example, I'm able to message my doctor and get an answer the same day. I can text him or call him and hear back on a concern that I have and get an appointment the same day, where in other healthcare settings, you might have to wait days or weeks for that kind of response or appointment follow-up. And I think it's definitely a privilege to be able to participate in a care model like that. These doctors see fewer patients because they're making more money from the private pay component. But with that, you also get more attention and, I think, in many cases, better care. So that's definitely an option. There's several direct care models in the area, and you can use your HSA to pay for it. And a lot of times it ends up being a pretty comparable cost depending on how you use the care.
In addition to some private care system routes, there are some calls to actions and other things being implemented within some local healthcare systems here. So what kind of calls to action are being made by doctors or healthcare systems to help alleviate this problem that they're facing?
Great, great question and really important to address. I think there's a lot being done on the local and national levels. I know that there are a lot of advocacy organizations that are lobbying and advocating for, you know, those better Medicare pay rates and advocating for cheaper med school and more options for students to attend med school without that burden of debt. There are also a lot of exciting things happening locally. I know that Frederick and Medical College of Wisconsin are collaborating with some local clinics to train primary care doctors. So when we see these clinics in healthcare deserts and areas of, you know, pretty significant healthcare inequity, when we're training family medicine providers, residents in those spaces, we're addressing two problems. We're addressing the systemic inequities there, and we're also training more healthcare providers that we hope will stay in the area and offer more options for folks who need a PCP.
So you also include some helpful like guides, levels of care that exists and options people have for choosing a PCP. But, you know, ultimately this kind of reminded me of the unfortunate reality of like, it's important for you to be your own medical advocate. And a lot of people don't have the tools to know this, right? Or until they're facing a health emergency and they have to like have a crash course in this. So, you know, what did you learn from this story and the importance of not just recognizing the flaws of the system, but recognizing like, you got to be on top of this for yourself?
Totally. So I think it's really important to be aware of your options if you don't have a reliable primary care doctor, that things like urgent care and the emergency department can be appropriate for certain concerns, but establishing a relationship ultimately with a provider that can see you long-term and know your health history, someone that you trust and actually like, is super important. And it might take some time and some work to do that. You can, call your insurance provider and ask them what your options are. You can call clinics and find out who has openings. I think asking around your network of friends to see who they like, asking friends and family for referrals of who they like and who they see can be helpful. And then just knowing your options and knowing that, you know, the direct care route might be a better option for some folks, depending on what their priorities are. And ultimately, you know, advocating for yourself and doing the work to find a provider that you'd like and trust, because no one else will do that for you.
Well, Ashley, thank you so much for joining me today to share more about the primary care shortage here.
Thank you for having me.
Ashley Abramson is a freelance reporter with Milwaukee Magazine. You can find her full article about the primary care shortage in this month's issue.